Yeah! All right. That's a great way to get it started, and I still think it's a fair question, right? That where's the math homework? And I know this, too. I don't want to go to that high school. That seems like a high school where there's a little bit too much going on for me. I just like to go to practice, go to Spanish, and then call it a day.
That's my kind of high school. You know, there's just no rules. Whatever goes, goes. Let the students police themselves. That's my kind of high school.
You want Thunderdome in local high schools. You know, three men enter, one man leave, right?
Listen,
that's how we're going to do it here.
You know me well enough. Listeners know me well enough. I just don't take any of that crap. You know what I mean, Trev?
Who wants this? I'll take it in the face. That's how you roll, right? You want the action right out of the gate. Are you as excited as I am
like
this
that.
Morning, Al? Because it's a pretty exciting day.
Okay.
Championship. It's they're playing one of the final major of the year is being contested right now at Royal Saint something or other on the other side of the pond, and a bunch of guys that you've never heard at are competing in a golf tournament that people tell me is important.
You got me kind of worried there for a second, because when you set it up like that, I'm like, Al, do your freaking homework. You don't know what's going on. Did I miss something?
Yeah, did the Lakers
Dodgers don't play tomorrow, right?
Did Eldon Campbell get elected to the Hall of Fame?
Something like that.
It's one of those things. Like I love golf, and I like watching. I love the Masters. The U.S. Open's really fun. The PGA is underrated, but usually a really, really fun tournament to watch. This is the one that. I get it that it's important, but it looks like it's being played in the middle of a cow pasture somewhere that they just decided to go start hitting some shots around. I just do not understand the appeal of this particular tournament. So there you go. There's your British Open update for the day. And by the way, when did we stop calling it the British Open and start calling it the Open Championship? I don't like that either. It's like changing the name of Wimbledon. Instead of, we're not going to call it Wimbledon anymore. We're just going to call it the Open thing of tennis over there.
Is this for you is what maybe the NBA Summer League is to me? Where I'm like, everybody, I need some time to myself right now.
It's pretty good. Although I think I'd rather watch the NBA Summer League at this point. At least that's in Vegas.
And Hornets and the Raptors are about to tip off. Just everybody take a second here.
Raptors signed this guy out of the G League last year who was averaging 5 and 6, and I really think he's got a chance to be their 11th guy. I really think that might happen.
I'm going to go on a hot take. He could average 8 this year. He could average 8 this year.
Travis and Slee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline.
I got a question for you. Quick question for you.
Sure.
So yesterday, you put up a photo on Twitter. And it's a selfie.
It is.
But it's not a selfie as if, you're standing there trying to take a photo. It's you in the center, but in the background, you're trying to explain kind of an old stomping ground. And you did some kind of a, from what I understood, was it the burrito first or the sandwich first? What was it? Something like that you said?
Burrito, then the sub. Yes. But I didn't do that yesterday. But I was back. I'm on the road for a couple of days. So I'm doing the show from the road. And I went to a place that I used to go to when I was a college student. And it's a story that I've told before on the air. And I took a picture of it. So somebody on Twitter, it got a lot of responses, which was kind of fun. But somebody described the actual photo itself as, this is the most dad tries to take a selfie picture ever. Because I wasn't.
How many did you have? Just honest question here. Did you take a couple?
No, I took one.
I respect that so much.
Because all I needed, that's not true. I took two. Because the first one I took didn't have me in it. It was just a picture of the intersection.
Of the spot, yep.
And then I'm figuring, this could be bogus because I could just I could just find the picture on the internet. I didn't need that, I could do, but I wanted, so I'm like, I turned it around and took a picture of myself there because I wanted to show, and then they said it's the most dad. So, and Emily, I saw you nodding your head right there. Why does that qualify? I mean, I am a dad, and it was a selfie, so by definition,
Emily, why are you going
selfie.
At Travis? Why are you
but
going
why,
at Travis
why,
like
why
that?
Why does that qualify?
It's because I've seen my own dad do the same. It's the
But what makes
it's,
it that?
It's the angle. Like, you hold your hands up a little too high.
Well, it's because I got 6 chins. I want to eliminate some chins.
I understand why, but that's also what my dad would do. And one thing is, too, it's like the non-expression, too. Like, you're not, really, like,
the non-expression
having a smile.
I like.
It's almost as if you're just trying to hold up your phone and you're just, like, looking at it. Like, you're trying to read something on your phone rather than actually taking a picture.
part of me thinks that the photo also has a little bit of you didn't know you took a photo. Like you just
no, I wasn't quite sure.
You're not sure that the photo came.
Sure.
I don't even know if you realized that the camera was facing you. For all I know, you could have been taking a photo forward. It ended up being close enough.
And what I picture too is like this is also happens with my dad. My dad wants to take a photo, and like me and my sisters are like, no, we don't want to take a photo. So he's like, okay, he'll take the photo, and we're just embarrassed watching him behind our heads covered at the same
time. That's good dadding right there. That's how so you're supposed to do that.
I'm still not sure what the subject here says. This is intersection where a sub chased a monster burrito. Uh-huh. Hashtag memories. Without me even knowing what the hell you're talking about, my response is where legends are made. And I have in my head what happened, but I don't think I'm right at all.
Well, remember when we were first getting started with this show and I said, you know, I'm not quite ready to tell you what's in my burrito. It feels a little personal. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably – how long ago was that?
It's 5 months, 6 months, something like that. I think we've gotten to the point where I can share the origin of that story. I'm not quite ready to do it yet because I kind of want you to try to figure out what it means exactly.
Well, let me tell you something.
Okay.
The guy that didn't want to share something personal with me, I'm no longer interested. Okay? You can keep that freaking story for yourself. I'm good.
Perfect.
There you gotta wait 5 months? See,
look, we are becoming fast friends because the second you tell me you're not interested, it means I like you that much more. Because you're not interested makes me like you. Good. Now I don't have to tell it. Now they're all set to go. All right. So we got the NBA Finals last night. So I think I changed the order of the universe last night. Here's what happened. I texted you and Emily and Funchess in the group. Mm-hmm. I said, I think this is the worst basketball game I've ever seen in my life. And it was. Through the first three quarters and change, it was boring. It was low scoring. There weren't any of those, holy smoke, did you see that moments. It was just kind of a random TNT, NBA TV, you know, Tuesday night game between the Suns and the Bucks that you could have easily skipped. And then all of a sudden, with about 5-6 minutes to go, maybe a little bit more, maybe 7 or 8 minutes in the fourth quarter, it turned into an NBA Finals game. The intensity went through the roof. There was incredibly exciting. The star players, namely Booker, Middleton, and Antetokounmpo, just went off. It was really good for about 5 or 10 minutes.
All right, I can't find the tweet. I actually really liked what you said, and I can't find it. I'm still looking here. You said something basically that it was the most boring game or something like that. I said I can't wait to watch the replay.
That's right.
It was something along those lines. Okay. You know, did we accidentally get a good matchup? Does that make sense, Trav? Like, did we accidentally – all we've talked about in the NBA Finals or NBA playoffs so far is all the injuries, right? The Phoenix Suns are not the best team in the Western Conference. You could say they're the healthiest team in the Western Conference, and that's why they're sitting where they are. Kawhi was out. AD missed significant time in the series. Jamal Murray. Okay. They're not the best team. Well, the path for the Milwaukee Bucks was kind of similar in the sense that – you played the Brooklyn Nets. Nobody expected you to beat the Brooklyn Nets unless their big three were not healthy. That happened to be the case. They got there. Could we have fallen into this is the second tier of the NBA, right? This is not the upper echelon, the best teams in the NBA, the second tier. But it's actually a really good matchup that both these teams are on the same level. So I say that because when you're saying yesterday, 6 minutes left to go, Devin Booker checks back in because he had five fouls and had to sit for, I don't know, 6 minutes, whatever it was.
Right.
And we basically have a tie game in the last 6 minutes, kind of back and forth. I think we backed into a really good matchup because of the scenario that happened in the NBA, because these are both second-tier teams. Sometimes, unfortunately, you get one team that's – can I give you an example?
Yeah.
Cleveland and Golden State, those championship runs that they had.
Yep.
Remember that finals where Cleveland was just beat up? Kyrie was out. Kevin Love was out. Okay, the series was over.
Yeah.
Toronto and the Golden State Warriors, that's not going to be a series unless Kevin Durant wasn't healthy, Klay Thompson wasn't healthy, and then all of a sudden we had a series. It wasn't really a series. Toronto obviously had the clear advantage there. This one might be one of those where it's a series simply because of the scenarios that none of us liked kind of fell into this is a good matchup because they're on the same level.
Yeah, I hear you, but this is also why I had no interest in it to begin with. Look, you can put together two, you know, soft frosh teams that are evenly matched. It doesn't make it good. You know, they might be equally skilled or lack thereof, but it doesn't make it great basketball or great TV. The last night, yes, they've been evenly matched because, I mean, we talked about it before, the two regular season games between these two teams, Phoenix won them both, but I think they were both by 2 points. You know, mm-hmm. they were both really close games.
Right.
But they weren't great games. They weren't memorable games. In the first three games, you know, Phoenix wins by 10, Milwaukee wins by 10. They're really not very good games, even though we have a 2-1. Last night, the last 6 minutes, that was fun. And we got the signature moment, right? And this may be one of those things that we talk about a year from now, 5 years from now, because we all remember these signature moments, right? You remember Dr. J going up and under the hoop with the layup, right?
Yep.
You remember Michael Jordan changing hands in midair. You remember mm-hmm. those kind of course, LeBron.
Still don't know why he changed hands in midair.
Because he's Michael Jordan.
I still don't understand it.
That way you get Marv going, a spectacular move by Michael Jordan.
I watched it 100 times. I'm like, Michael, just finish with your right. What's the point of going up with your left?
Pretty cool.
He did have 7 seconds cool. in the air to decide what to do.
He was up there for a while. Maybe his hand fell asleep. Maybe it's right now, like, can you sit on the couch wrong and your
by
hand
the way,
to
is that
like, I gotta put it in the left hand. I'll go over there. Maybe it was that.
Is that not a bitter Laker fan? Because every time I see that highlight, I'm like, just finish with your right. Just finish with your right. You have plenty. There's plenty of room there. Just finish with your right.
Even when Michael was beating the Lakers back then, there was still that moment of, oh boy, look at this dude. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what's missing from this. There isn't an, oh boy, look at this dude, until last night when Giannis blocked Ayton. Because I've watched it 50 times by now. Mm-hmm. I was watching the game with my dad last night.
Unbelievable
and,
play.
And we must have watched that play 10, 15 times. Like, wait, how did he get over there? Because he had his back to the play. Mm-hmm. He takes one step with his back turned to Ayton. Mm-hmm. Jumps off of 1 foot and meets him
at the square top
of the backboard.
Absolutely.
At the top of the square and blocks the ball out of his hands. It was an extraordinary. Now, everybody needs to chill out on that's as good as LeBron blocking Iguodala. Stop. It wasn't that, but it was damn good. And it might be the signature moment of that series if the Bucks go on to win.
By there we go. Isn't that funny? You know, we were talking about the last couple of days, comparisons, how quick we're. Devin Booker has 40. Compare him to Kobe. Relax. Mm-hmm. Just let it. Giannis has two good games. This is as dominant as Shaquille O'Neal was. Relax. And then yesterday that Giannis play with, and like you said, right away people are trying to make comparisons to LeBron and Iguodala. Just leave the play alone. Leave that play alone
all,
on its own island.
Yeah, I mean, there's a million things.
And he was, there's a million things. Anyways, fantastic block, but this is, Trav, two things happened yesterday. Forget Devin Booker's 40-plus. Forget Giannis. Or forget Chris Middleton's 40.
He was great.
Giannis's block, Chris Paul's kind of key turnovers. Mm-hmm. Little bit of a, you know, it took me back. When I'm watching Chris Paul at the end of that game, yes, and really the whole game because he wasn't good the entire game.
Can I guess what you're going to say, Al? Did it remind you of when he blew it against OKC when he was with the Clippers?
It reminded me of Chris Paul blowing it in a number of different games in his career.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it wasn't just that game in that moment. It could have been against Houston when they were up 3-1. It could have been, you know, there's a few times that this has happened in Chris Paul's career, and that's as big of a moment as he's going to have. Trav, they were up 9 points in the fourth quarter.
Right.
They were up 9 in the fourth quarter. Devin Booker had 40-plus. All you need for Chris Paul to do is don't lose you the game, right? Like, don't have that key turnover, a key mistake that can lose a game. Yesterday's loss, if you're the Phoenix Suns, you should be up 3-1. There's a very – I mean, they controlled that entire game. Chris Paul was the difference of them being up 3-1 or being tied 2-2. So I took that came away a lot for me as
well.
Yeah,
me too. That when he did that, I immediately went back to that OKC series where it felt like the Clippers had that series kind of locked in and that they were going to win it. And then all of a sudden, it just went the other way because Chris Paul started making some crazy decisions. And, you know, we talk about Kobe. We're talking about all these great players because we're trying to find the next great player, whether it's Booker, whether it's Antetokounmpo, whether it's Giannis or whoever it is. But when Kobe got his hands on a moment like that, he never let it go. He might lose a game, but once he had a game in his sights, it very, very rarely slipped. LeBron was like that. Steph and KD were like once they had it, they had it. And that's not the case with Chris Paul. Chris Paul is not that guy. There's always that, you know, he may spit the bit right here. That happens every once in a while with Paul.
Well, this is the difference. The difference is this. Devin Booker yesterday had plays where I'm like, freak, Devin Booker, it looked awesome. Unstoppable. It doesn't matter. Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton, left hand, right hand. I mean, he had plays yesterday that were, you win that game, you know, Devin Booker's a game away from winning the NBA Finals. You're talking about Devin Booker the way you might be talking about. Remember when Dwayne Wade won that Finals for the, like, yeah. That's the kind of things that it brings up. But if you're Chris Paul, all you had to do yesterday was not have an awful game. Just do not have, I don't think it's maybe 13 turnovers over the last three games, but 10 over the last two, something like. Just don't lose the game. And that's the reason why I emphasize that so much, because Chris Paul can come back and have a solid game, five, and maybe they end up still winning the series, you know, and I'd still give them the edge because they have home court. But that was a freaking critical moment, critical stage there where CP3 had a chance to kind of take over the game.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and it's not the first time that we've seen it. And we'll see. He already has more turnovers in the finals than he had in the entire Western Conference Finals, and they've played, you know, two fewer games. So that tells you how he's playing at this point. All right. Some other things going on in the NBA Finals last night. We need to fix the broadcast because the guys are doing a good job, but the audio needs to be tightened up a little bit. Plus, I want to talk about how you can tackle a guy who's going up for a layup and it's not a foul. That seems to
Didn't
be something
see it.
That needs to
Never
be
saw
addressed.
It.
We'll get into that. It's Travis and Slee at 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll get Messi today, Al. He didn't do anything last night, although that picture of him with the trophy from Copa America apparently is the most liked sports trophy or most liked sports photograph in the history of Instagram. So that's a cool thing to have.
What do you have, like 20 million or something like that? Yeah, that's amazing.
More than my selfie from the intersection in Isla Vista yesterday. Just a few more. And by the way, so yeah. can I read one real quick?
Sure.
So Anthony writes, Emily is right. You're either trying to read something or you're making sure you got the whole intersection in the shot. Okay, so it's the second thing. What basically?
Of course,
what
it's the intersection. Yep.
What you know, like when you watch a movie, and I like to think of a movie more than it happens in real life. You know, like when they have a hostage and they make them hold up to that today's newspaper in the shot next to them so they can prove that they're
date.
Still alive.
Right,
right. Like it's here's today's paper. He's still alive. Don't make me do this. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. That was my face was the newspaper for the shot. I had it set up, so I'm actually here. This is not stock footage, so I can tell an old story. I was back. That's all
your,
it was.
Your face to me says, this is where I am. Don't freaking mess with me, and I don't care what you think of this selfie. That's what that face tells me.
So the picture I was just off of campus at UCSB yesterday getting something to eat, and I went to a place that I really, really liked and liked then, and I've never felt so old in my life walking into that place that I'm looking around everybody. The kids that are there are younger than my own kids. Mm-hmm. It was a very sobering moment. Like, dude, you are – they're looking at
you
me
should've
like,
went back.
Who is
you
this old man?
You should have went back to your old frat house and just kind of told stories. You know, just
hey,
been like –
what's up, fellas?
Do you guys know who I am? Do you know who I am? You should.
Are you here to fix the TV? Like, why are you here?
Class of 90. Heard of me? I don't even know if that makes any sense.
All right. It's time for some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, which brings us to another tweet from GFish21 who says, how many points did Devin Booker have after his seventh foul? And it's a good question because, Slee, take me through this.
Yeah.
How does that call
I'll tell you.
Get made last night?
You ready?
Because Booker tackled Holiday, and it was a no call.
Okay. Let's not get a little dramatic here and say Booker tackled.
He did.
Or
both
he
hands
did not
around
tackle.
The waist.
Okay. Is it a foul? No question about it. It's a foul. You know why they didn't call the foul? Because he had five fouls. That's it. There's no other reason. It's as simple as that. Let me put it this way. If Mikal Bridges, that foul's getting called, right?
Yeah.
If that's PJ Tucker, he's getting called for a foul.
Anybody
Devin
other
Booker,
than Giannis Booker and Middleton,
Devin Booker
maybe?
Had five fouls. It was on a fast break. Which, by the way, ball on the hand was okay, but he literally pulled him with his left hand or whatever. Like
His right hand around his shoulders and was like pulling him down. Well, the ground. It looked like Aaron Donald.
It actually almost looked like he was trying to commit a foul. Like he was like, I don't want to give up. Right. Yeah. I don't want to give up. But that's why that foul wasn't called. Another quick question here. Matt on Twitter says, MJ said he switched to his left because he saw Sam Perkins and thought Perk might go for the block. That is the biggest BS I've ever heard if Jordan is trying to claim in the finals where he was in the air for 14.8 seconds and decided to go with his left hand. I don't want to hear it.
Well, he had plenty of time to make up his mind. It was just this wireless, no contract, no compromise.
This probably goes with the same thing. I didn't want Devin Booker to foul out. So when they didn't call the foul, I was like, just play through. Wait, why are we going to foul? Don't you find yourself doing this?
When you're
rooting for your team or you're rooting for somebody, you make 94 excuses why that shouldn't have been a foul? The ball was already released. I mean,
I like that they're trying to keep the best players in the game. I think that's probably what you should try to do. But that was one of those.
It was a foul.
Was so egregious.
Yeah, it was a foul.
It makes you realize that, okay, we're playing by two separate sets of rules. That Devin Booker, short of hitting somebody with a tire iron, was not going to get his sixth foul. They were not going to take him out of that game. But anyway, let's get to the Lakers here, because you and I touched on it a little bit yesterday about the idea of Lonzo Ball maybe coming back. And there are some stories out there that the Lakers are looking for sign and trade deals for Dennis Schroeder, that the Lakers may be interested in bringing Lonzo back, that maybe Kyle Kuzma is being shopped. There's a lot of stuff going on in Lakerland right now. Let's start with the Lonzo piece, because you and I kind of come to the same conclusion that neither one of us want to see him come back, but for different reasons. I just don't want him here because I don't think he's very good. You think he's pretty good. You just think he's a bad fit.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this kind of falls into the category of look at all these players. I mean, if the Lakers had an opportunity, this is just my opinion, right? If the Lakers had an opportunity to trade Kuzma and go get a vet, go get somebody that's been in the league for 10-plus years, that knows their role, that you feel like can be a little bit more consistent on this team, well, I would take away the potential of what Kuzma can be and get something that has less potential, but I know what I'm getting over the next couple of years. I'm going to now go to the Lonzo piece. Lonzo Ball is a nice player. Like, I actually like the way Lonzo Ball plays basketball. I just don't think Lonzo Ball, at this stage of his career, where the Lakers are and trying to win an NBA championship, would be a good fit for the Lakers. I even put Dennis Schroeder into that. If Dennis Schroeder wants to go out and make $100, $125 million, and the Lakers go do some type of sign-and-trade, and they get somebody that's more of a veteran, that, you know, more established player in the league, that has a lot of playoff experience and everything else, I think that's the strategy the Lakers have to take. Trav, this isn't 4 years ago where you're just trying to build with all these young players. For me, I'm kind of at a point with the Lakers where go get as many vets as you can, put this two-year window together and see if you can get one more over LeBron's next 2 years.
Yeah, so here's what it is. The Lakers are in Rams mode. You got to win right now. We cannot think about what's going to happen 5 years from now, 2 years from now. What might Lonzo Ball turn back into if we give him an opportunity to continue to develop? No way, no how. Every season that the Lakers go into this for the foreseeable future, because we're talking about the LeBron James era, is we need to find somebody that can help LeBron James, be LeBron James, and win a championship right now. And that ain't Lonzo Ball. Because, to your point, Al, and I don't think of him as highly as you do, but I agree with what you're saying, that what he does do well, the Lakers don't need that. What he does do well is he distributes the ball pretty well. He's a willing defender, which they could probably use a little
better. Better three-point shooter than he was, but
he's a better three-point shooter than he was. But I'm going to need to see a little bit more of that before I buy into that. And it's a big difference making shots on a bad Pelicans team than it is making shots when if I pass you the ball, you better make it. Right? That's the role with the Lakers. I don't think that he fits in for them because LeBron's going to have the ball in his hands the whole time. LeBron is the playmaker. LeBron is the one who sees the floor. LeBron is the one who sets these things up. We need guys that do things that complement that. Lonzo, I don't think, does. So let's find something else. As far as the Kuzma piece goes.
Can I give you a quick example on the Lonzo? I don't know. They're obviously the one thing that could help the Lakers. There are some point guards available. Now, if Chris Paul opts out, Kyle Lowry is going to get a lot of money wherever he goes, I think, you know, for a short-term deal. Mike Conley is going to be available. Maybe he wants to go back to Utah. But, like, I'm not – without me describing any three of those actual players, Trav, they need a 30, 32, 33, 34-year-old. Like, you know, we're talking about this window of right now. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go into any games this year talking about what Kuzma's potential could be in a couple of years. I don't want to go into any games saying that, man, Lonzo's got a great future ahead of him. I'm not saying don't think of the future. I'm just saying, and I think Rob Pelinka's been, he's been very patient with some of this stuff. And when I say he's been very patient with this stuff, this is what I mean. Would you have been surprised if Kuzma was traded 2 years ago, year ago? I wouldn't have been surprised.
No.
Okay, he's held on to him. He's held on to a lot of these kind of younger pieces, not a lot of them, but a couple to where they've still got some assets left, but I find it hard to believe coming into this next year, after watching what the Lakers just went through, that you don't put all the your poker chips at the center of the table and say, we're all in.
All right, let's try a phone call here. Let's go to Torrance and DeAndre. DeAndre, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's going on this morning?
Hey, Travis and Slee, man. I appreciate you guys. I love you guys. I think you're right about Kuzma. However, Lonzo, you guys are completely wrong. I think Lonzo pushes the ball up the court. Like they said, they can move LeBron and AD to the four and the five. LeBron power forward, AD to the center position. The key to the team is finding two wing shooters. Two 40-plus percent wing shooters. Lonzo shoots about 38% to 40%. We're good. And we'll have a point guard that's 6'6", that can defend, that can guard younger guards that we don't need to hide, and we can have an elite defense. We just need two elite shooters on the wing. KCP could be one of them. I know he's inconsistent, but we do need another one that's consistent. What do you guys think?
Appreciate you calling in.
You bring up some good points, DeAndre. And here's the thing, that if what you just described I thought was actually going to happen, I would be okay. You know how many times I've heard LeBron will play off the ball? LeBron will be the three or the four, and he'll go. I've heard it a dozen. They talked about it in Miami. They've talked about it when he went back to Cleveland with Kyrie. They've talked
when
about
push
it
comes to shove, he has the ball.
Not even when push comes to shove, he has the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
He has the ball in his hands every minute of every possession. It just seems that's what makes LeBron LeBron. What makes him one of the great players of all time is because he is a facilitator. He does see the floor. He does pass. He has a great handle. He can shoot, and he happens to be built like a power forward. Mm-hmm. It's the whole package. And when he says we just need a couple of elite shooters, couldn't agree more. That's, I think, what they need more than anything. I don't think that either of the guys that DeAndre suggested, KCP or Lonzo, fall into that category. I know Lonzo's percentage was up last season. I'm fine. The math is what it is. He made that. Making shots for the Lakers is different than making shots for the Pelicans.
I was just going to say, that's why I have such a difficult time with this. You know, Trav, you know what I think of when I think of that position? Let me... At the end of the game, you know who you want in the game? You want Brian Shaw, because you know the moment's not anything there. He's been in that position before. You want Derek Fisher. You know that I have all this playoff experience. I've been in this. Use that as another example. You want guys that have been there, that have gone through those battles. Lonzo, you know, I said this yesterday to you, Trev. I want to see Lonzo in the right predicament and situation. I do. Like, I think there's value in what he does. I don't think it's what – let me give you an example. If Lonzo ended up with the Chicago Bulls, which, you know, they're one of the teams that would have some interest. Now you got Lonzo and Zach LaVine. That dude doesn't have to worry about, I'm in the freaking playoffs, it's the Western Conference Finals, and there's, you know, a lot of pressure on me or on my shoulders, and I've never even been in this situation before. I just don't want to see players like that in this situation. That's why I lean more towards a vet. If the Lakers were rebuilding, if they're in this mode of, you know, just make it to the playoffs and you're not expected to win a championship, maybe the story would be different.
All right, so we've been saying that the Dodgers are going to be fine in the second half of the season. Are they? Because there are some real issues that they need to address. We'll get into that next. Plus, a TV show that I think I want to see is not even going to get made. That's all coming up next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I feel like Ralph Macchio would be the Teddy Roosevelt of that group. Like, you look up there, you're like, okay, yeah, Lincoln, Yeah, sure. George Washington, sure. Thomas Jefferson, why not?
Or the Ted Williams.
Really? Really? Teddy Roosevelt? Really? Okay. I mean, I get it. Rough Riders and all that, but come on, man.
Greatest of our time.
Is he the Ringo at a group then?
Is he the what?
The Ringo at a group.
Yeah, maybe. There you go, Punch. That's right. He should have the drumsticks.
It's kind of, you know, and I'm seeing this on Twitter, and I think, Trav, you'll get this as well. The Lonzo piece makes for, let's just say there's definitely a group that says, no Lonzo Ball. We've seen that already. Let this guy kind of progress in his own career out of L.A., out of the spotlight, out of his hometown. Then there's the other side is, I'll read off a tweet here from Haru, says, Lonzo can play off the ball when LBJ is on the floor, but once LBJ is off the bench, nobody can throw the ball into the high post to AD. Close your eyes and remember how difficult it was for the rest of the Lakers to simply pass the ball into the post. There are a lot of people that I think are on the camp of bring Lonzo back. And, Trev, does it mean anything – if Lonzo Ball came back to the Lakers, does it mean anything this kind of second round where maybe things are not going to – you don't have Magic and Oppressor sitting there saying, don't break all my records, and you don't have the hype machine that came with LeVar Ball that first time and he's being drafted – would it mean anything different? I don't know if how much things have changed since then. But
I just want to know why you don't want to talk about Teddy Roosevelt. I want to know why you so quickly went away from Teddy and wanted to talk about Lonzo. That's what I'm more intrigued by.
Because I was comparing De Niro, Robert De Niro, to Daniel LaRusso.
Yeah, well, you know, like, think everybody gets something wrong every once in a while. It was your turn yesterday. It'll be my turn tomorrow. That's the way that these – no, look – I get it, and there are, I guess, arguments to be made why he's a better fit coming back. I saw it every night. Every night. And I know he's gotten better, and I think that this is the piece that people are really having a hard time either understanding or wanting to understand. Making shots when your team is 10 games under 500 and no one gives a damn what happens is not the same thing as LeBron James passed me the ball and I have to make it. It's not the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's barely even the same sport. That there are people that thrive under that, and Lonzo, and again, he was young, so I will carve out the possibility of maybe he has grown into the role. It's a possibility. It's happened before. But I didn't see anything that made me think, you know what, just give that time. I saw that and said, get that out of here as fast as you can. And Magic did him wrong, and there's no question about it. The way that Magic set him up was disastrous. That it literally, if you were going to say, hey, create a scenario where this will be terrible, it would have been exactly that. Where you have the greatest Laker of all time, arguably, certainly the greatest Laker point guard of all time, draft a guy who already came with enormous expectations, and then say, hey, don't break all my records, and we're going to start clearing space for you up in the rafters. That was a terrible play.
Well, Magic obviously didn't help the situation, but the hype was there. It was Lonzo coming out of UCLA. It was the number two pick in the draft.
Had no one ever seen him shoot a basketball at UCLA? Had no one ever actually taken the time to see him shoot sidearm when he was a Bruin?
But he wasn't. I mean, by the way, the way he was shooting at UCLA was different than the way he was shooting at the Lakers. What I mean by that is, like you said, it's one thing to do stuff with New Orleans. It's one thing to – the Los Angeles Lakers. It's a different story. You know what else he was doing at UCLA that he wasn't doing in L.A. or with the Lakers? He was also much more aggressive, getting to the basket, dunking over guys. He wasn't doing any of that. But, again,
he'd lost
you're
his
in the
confidence.
NBA.
He'd lost his confidence. And, you know, if anything in the sport, the thing that matters more than anything is having confidence, and he didn't have it. We'll talk more about Lonzo coming up. Here's the bad news, I think, of the day, Sleep.
Okay.
I think this is bad news. The Tiger King series that was going to star Nicolas Cage, he was going to play Joe Exotic, got pulled. They're done. It's not going to happen. They were going to do it on Amazon, and it's been squashed. They're not going to do it. And I think that's probably a good idea. I don't think I need to revisit it. Because let's go back, right? That you go back to a little bit more than a year ago when everything was shut down, when no one was anywhere. It's hard to even kind of comprehend how popular Joe Exotic was, how popular the Tiger King was, how on the tip of our tongue all of those weird things were in the middle of the lockdown.
I'm kind of finding myself going back to that. So, okay, a year ago, a little bit over a year ago, and remember everybody was just sitting back talking about, what are you streaming? What are you streaming? Stream this,
what are you
stream
watching?
That,
yeah,
right? What are you watching? And we were all kind of, you know, everybody we're ordering in, and, you know, everything just kind of changed right in front of us. Tiger King got so much freaking run. everybody. I remember even like these important interviews, huge things going on, and people would ask, you know, it could be even people in politics, are you watching Tiger King? Where? How far are you in Tiger King? I'm like,
what do you think of Carol Baskin? Did she kill her husband? She did, right? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but isn't there a
why
virus
do I miss
like
that
taking
name?
People out all over the place? Yeah, but what about Carol Baskin? She did it, right? That guy's chopped up in the Everglades somewhere, right?
I'm trying to think here. I'm trying to think down like this. What people were doing a year ago and how it just became so normal, right? You know how you were talking about this? We mentioned this, I know, in our prep. Remember when people were just doing Zoom happy hour?
Oh, yeah. Wait, I did those.
Okay, but just think about this for a second. If 2 years ago I would have told you, you're not going to go sit with somebody. You're going to open up on your computer, and we're going to have a call together, and we're all going to be pouring a drink, having a bourbon or some wine, and we're going to be talking into our computer screen, having a good old time. You'd be like, what the hell are you doing? Go be have a social life.
Yeah. No, I did not expect my social life to consist of Carol Baskin, Joe Exotic, and you know what I learned how to do today? I make a mean sourdough bread. That I've got a sourdough starter that is absolutely out of this world. I'll send you the recipe. I'll give you a little of the starter dough, and you can make it too. And by the way, what do you say we get together at 8 and flip on Zoom and we'll drink some wine? It's just bizarre. What did you do today? Went for a walk and built puzzles again?
For me, I got addicted to TikTok, where half of my language after the quarantine started was TikTok references.
Travis and I as well.
I bet you I speak more TikTok than you think, Slee. I have a 18-year-old daughter who is TikTok heavy, so I know more about it than you might think, Al. I've got a little bit of game in that category.
You know what you should do? By the way, yesterday you did your selfie, right? You put up the selfie, and ESPN LA put that out as well. before the weekend, you should do a TikTok video.
I should.
I support that. Do a TikTok video, please.
You know what?
I was just kidding.
That.
I was just kidding. But if it sounds you were much more excited about it than I thought you'd
no,
be.
No, I think that
was not expecting that.
Tag Jojo Siwa.
I really have everything that TikTok stars are looking for. That mm-hmm. I really check every box. I'm mm-hmm. middle aged. I don't really understand what it is,
sure.
And I have no interest in it. So I think that's a perfect combination of how you succeed.
Let me tell you something.
Universe.
Let me tell you something. There's a way to do things where. It's like, all right, you got those who are doing TikTok and people think it's cool and people think are like, wow, amazing, they get all these views. Then you got others that don't care about it and make fun of it, which it could be cool as well. You see what I mean? Like you fall more into that category. Like you can take something that you're so not trying to be cool that it becomes cool.
LAFC game. I'm going to teach you some dances.
There you go.
And we're going to do it. Us and all of our guests that are coming with us, we're going to do some dances.
There goes our listeners.
I'm not dancing. I will do something else, but I'm definitely not going to
I'll think it
dance.
Up. This is my producer brain. I'll think it up.
I have a couple of things that I regret from quarantine as well that we'll get into a little bit later on. But we got to get to it next. It's Bunch of Funch. It's Trav and Slee. It's 710 ESPN. All right, Funch, before we get to that, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Hit us with the first one, Funch.
Michael Funch is in the house.
All right, guys. You know what today is? It's National Tapioca Pudding Day. And if you're hip and cool and you live in L.A., you probably tried a boba tea. You guys know what boba tea is?
I do.
Okay. Yeah. So it's boba tea is a milk or fruit drink that comes with these big boba balls at the bottom, and the balls are made from tapioca, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love going to the milk tea shop and getting a boba, but without the boba. Like I just like drinking the milk tea. Yeah. I just love drinking the milk tea. That's it. I hate the consistency. It feels gross in my mouth, those balls or whatever, you know? So... Yes, laugh
everybody
along,
relax
ladies.
Back
there.
Laugh
along,
everybody
ladies.
Relax.
That's,
right.
That's the hardest I've ever heard
fine.
Emily laugh
yes,
in my
right.
life.
Everything
so,
is fine.
So,
yeah.
The, you know,
let's keep
boba
moving here.
Balls.
Muscle through, Funch. Don't stop.
Are one thing that I can't eat, okay? I can't eat this along with tomatoes and avocados.
Tomatoes.
So, Travis, I'll start with you. I know you can take down everything on your plate that's in front of you.
That's true.
But what are some foods that you can't eat?
There is really only one thing that I refuse to eat, that I will not eat it, and don't send me your texts about, oh, no, have you tried it like this, or no, if you can hide it in that.
Well,
it's
now you know it's coming. Okay.
And I
mm-hmm.
don't want it. Cauliflower. It is
I'm with
grotesque.
You.
It's sandy. It's gritty. It's flavorless. It's when it does have a flavor, it's a little bitter. I do not want to.
Okay, I got a question for
you,
Trav.
Save it. Yeah.
Trav, you go to a restaurant.
Uh-huh.
You know they're gonna find ways to. They're gonna find ways to try. They make Brussels sprouts taste good, right? Like I think there's ways to make
it
taste good.
I'll muscle through those. I'll eat them.
Okay, but
I don't like them, but I'll eat them.
the cauliflower when they cook them at a restaurant where they're probably putting butter, oil, whatever. They're still that you can't do. I could do that.
No, I put it to you this way: if there's a meal that comes with vegetables on the side, I'll ask, hey, what am I getting? And if they say it's broccoli, it's Brussels sprouts, it's carrots, it's beans, great, cool, bring it on. But if I hear the word cauliflower, I will ask, is there any way I can get something other than that? And if they say it all comes together, I'll say, great, and I'll pick around it, and it'll be the last thing left on the plate. I will not eat it.
Funches, I don't have many. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I mean, yes, there's a lot of vegetables there. You're like, but
not
they
even
can,
one, man.
Anything you add butter and oil to is going to taste good. Okay. So I don't like broccoli, but I'll eat broccoli if it's cooked properly. I don't like Brussels sprouts. Sometimes you go to these restaurants and they'll put so much things on there that it's the equivalent of just eating ice cream. Like, it's not healthy at all, but they taste good.
But the cauliflower, it's like sandy. It has a gritty – it's just awful.
By the way, the boba teas, some of these places have lines. There's one not – here on Lake in Pasadena. When I say there, if you go like around 7 o'clock, you would think it's In-N-Out. I mean, there is a line outside the door like you've never seen.
The lines
very
are like
popular.
In-N-Out.
Yeah, very popular.
So I also have one, and this might be more of a Southern thing, but I can't do grits. I cannot grits. I can't do oatmeal. I hate anything with that consistency of like mush. There's just nothing there for me. Again, you can add butter, sugar, all this other stuff to grits, but then you're like, you don't like the grits. You like the sugar and the butter.
I like the salt and pepper grits more than the sugary butter ones. Those are better. Those are quite good. What's number two, Funch?
All right, guys. This might be good for a good question for both of you guys, since one of you guys is a baseball guy and the other one's a basketball guy. So one of my favorite followers on Twitter, House of Highlights, was at the All-Star game, and he asked some players, mainly Tatis and Aaron Judge, what's harder, hitting a 100 miles per hour fastball or making a half-court shot? So here he goes.
Did a poll, what's harder, hitting a 100 mile per hour fastball or making a half-court shot? Half-court shot, one, is being harder. Can you explain why that's not true?
That's not
Thank
true.
Thank you. Can you explain it? Because you got to tell the guys who don't watch baseball.
That's not true. Whoever say that, I want them to face a 100 mile per hour pitcher.
You don't know if it's going to be at your head, if it's going to be at the knees, over the plane, anywhere. You know, you give me a couple buckets of balls, I think I can drain a couple half-court shots.
So, listening to Tatis and Judge's answers, what's your harder one, Alan?
Bro, are you kidding me? 100-mile-per-hour fastball? Are you kidding me? I go up right now to half court, give me 10 balls. I mean, a few of them are going to hit the rim. One might get lucky and bank in. 100-mile-per-hour fastball, I'm not even – I'd be so far off the plate. Yeah, I'm not hitting a fastball.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, Al, have you ever made a half-court shot? You go out to the park? Of course, yeah. Funch, have you ever thrown in a half-court shot?
I can't recall, but I probably have.
Yeah, I mean, when you go to the gym or you go out to the park or whatever, you start jacking up shots further and further back till you're at half-court.
It's
gonna
go
in. We've all made one.
Yeah,
we've all made one. It's not easy, but we've all done it. Let me ask you this. Yeah. How many people do you think have gotten a hit off of a 75-mile-an-hour fastball? Almost none of us, right? It's really – 100?
Yeah, I think 75 or 80 would have been the right way to put it.
How fast do they go at the batting cages? How fast do they usually go at the batting cages?
60-something, 70-something.
Really? Yeah.
What's the slowest they go?
Maybe 40.
I'm down.
Yeah. But no, that's a no-brainer.
I'll foul off a 40-mile-per-hour. I can't
catch
up.
What's more difficult, to hit a 100-mile-an-hour fastball or go over the middle of an NFL game and catch a ball that's a little bit thrown a little bit too high?
Yeah,
that's
a better question.
Yeah, that's the –
Funch, I think I found the food. Spam.
No,
can't do spam.
Really screaming hot
in pan. In Hawaii, I know that's a big thing, so they have a way of preparing it. But out here, it's like, I'm not going to grab that off an aisle.
Dice it up. I'm not saying it's the top choice, but I'm saying if that's what you have, dice it up into little cubes, a screaming hot pan with a little soy sauce, and it gets crispy. It's so good.
It makes it sound like we're eating filet mignon or something.
Yep. Funch gets it.
Yes, I do.
Next one.
So I don't know if you guys still want to do food deliveries to your house once I tell you this story on brobible.com about a woman named Caitlin. Now, Caitlin ordered a Taco Bell from DoorDash, and when she got her order, she noticed everything was there except for her Doritos Locos Tacos. You know what those are?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. So she then went back to the photo. And I guess when you get DoorDash, the driver sends you a photo of your food on the doorsteps, right? So she found her Doritos Locos taco is missing, but also the photo of the picture of the person that took the photo, whatever, they had Dorito shake on their fingers when they took the picture of their food.
Like, you're talking about the dust?
Like the dust, the Doritos dust, you know what I mean? The Doritos shake, you know?
Bro.
Her hands were covered in Doritos shake, basically.
Oh. Okay.
So basically, Caitlin got the refund, the driver got fired by DoorDash. Now, I ask you, Mr. Foodie Travis, what is your feelings on food deliveries to your house after hearing this story?
I'm just assuming that's one bad employee. I understand that there's a risk involved with some of this stuff, but... And look, if I can get something delivered to my door at 11 o'clock at night, I'm doing it. I don't have to get in the car. I don't have to go anywhere. This does not deter me. I've gotten things in my food, and I still eat, so I'm good.
You know what this is? Trav, you know what this is? If you go on Twitter or, you know, they've even had shows on this, like, stupid criminals, right, that, like, do
America's
things.
Dumbest criminals.
Exactly. They do things where you're like, okay, you got to think this through a little bit more. You idiot. If you're taking the taco and it's the Doritos Loco taco, can you do me a favor? Lick your fingers after you're done eating it so that the evidence is not right there that you ate it.
Just shake it off, right?
Jeez. Or how about this? How about just take it, deliver, and then once you get in your car, go enjoy your taco. I mean, that sounds more not a DoorDash problem, not a food delivery problem, as somebody who's just not a smart individual committing a crime.
You had me right up until that last thing. Once they go to the restaurant and pick up the bag of food, and that bag of food is sitting right next to you in your car, you're not going to not eat a taco. It's impossible. Once it's in the car,
you don't work for DoorDash. You don't work for DoorDash.
Well, even if I did.
This guy, would you be a food delivery guy and you're taking an egg roll here and you're taking a taco here?
I don't know what happened to half those fries. I don't know. They say the egg rolls had an order. There's supposed to be four in an order. There's two and a half here. I don't know. They must have screwed up at the route. I don't know.
They got a 20-piece chicken McNugget. There's 16 left.
All right. The Dodgers getting ready to open up the second half of their season. They got some problems, and they've got a really interesting schedule coming up. That's next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
All right, Harris Resort SoCal. I said it here over the last couple of months. We appreciate their partnership. I want to give out the website. Visit harrissocal.com. You can start planning your trip just by going to the website. Pack your victory dance. Go all in on fun. At Harris Resort SoCal, make a splash in Funner California's trifecta of pools, dance with Lady Luck at one of 50 table games or 1,600 slots, or tee up the fun in SoCal's first Topgolf swing suite. Great amenities here. I want to read off a couple here. I did mention, from a pool perspective, voted one of 10 best resort pools in America by USA Today. If you're a big beer fan, Rincon Reservation Road Brewery is the first tribally owned brewery in Southern California, and it's conveniently located right there at Harris Resort SoCal. From dining to unwinding, scoring a good time is as easy as picking up a room key. Are you game for a getaway? Start planning your trip by visiting harrissocal.com.